What woman doesn't shop at Target? Come on, let's keep it 100. Who doesn't shop online these days? You can shop now in your undies, you don't have to wear a bra, put on some woolly socks, and then sip out of your cold glass of champs. This week at Target, the sales are point blank, simple, stupid. It's tax season here in the US of A. Target wants you to use your tax return wisely. So you know what they're doing? They are starting special sales every day of the week from April 17th until the 23rd. So in other words, come to Target to blow all your money. And for those of you who don't have a return, but you want to do a room refresh, link to this week's deals from my website, my new website, ninababel.com/podcast. And you're going to go to episode number 15. Which gives you this week's store discounts.
In addition to my own experiences, real women give mother freaking real life advice. They will express their personal bloopers when it comes to sensitive girly stuff.
What's up, Girly Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, coming to you live and direct from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I'm your hostess with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. It's Nina Babel. And as always, I keep it 100. You know I keep it real. I keep it true. But this is where women tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. Girl, we got the ish today. I have stories from women, including me, with TMI real talk that's gonna freak you out. Funny and emotional moments, and most importantly, life lessons that are surprising, edgy, taboo, but more importantly, fun. You know, like you're in the no prude zone, right? Uncensored real talk. I talk to you like I talk to my own girlfriends. One rule of my podcast is we overshare. So if it's your first time here, welcome, chica. And remember, hang it up at the door. I don't want to hear about it. Myself and Girly Nation, we reveal our tell-all experiences, aha moments, advice, and lastly, we drop mother-freaking girlfriend knowledge. And I'm here to empower your ass and give you your weekly dose of self-confidence and self-worth every week. Connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat using the handle @NinaBabel. Or you know what? Go over to my website. Oh, I forgot to tell you, my new website. Check it out, ninababel.com, and subscribe to make sure you're in the know with my latest and greatest. Okay, before I get started, firstly, I just want to thank everyone for listening to the Keep It 100 Girls show and your continued support. I want to take this moment to give shout out to all the 47 countries listening. United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Mexico, Ukraine, Italy, Nigeria, Puerto Rico, Netherlands, Singapore, France, Japan, Denmark, Korea, Taiwan, Cameroon, Hong Kong, New Zealand, India, Israel, Trinidad and Tobago, China, and Argentina. Did you get that? I love how my Girly Nation garden is blooming. But let's keep it moving. I got another doozy episode for all of you. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? Did you all figure it out yet? In today's episode, I've asked Girly Nation to school the men, and similarly, I asked one of my brave guy friends to man up and school Girly Nation. Even better, I pulled in Dr. Megan Fleming, who's all about creating relationships you love. She's a clinical psychologist and sex therapist based in New York City who contributes to Anderson Live, MSNBC, Women's Health, Bustle, and Cosmo Radio, just to name a few. Dr. Fleming keeps it 100 by setting the record straight on men's frustrations, real-life scenarios, and medical truths when it comes to PE, which she often refers to as premature ejaculation. In today's episode, there are 5 things you're going to learn. Number 1, what's a 5-minute man? Number 2, sex expectations. Number 3, the disappointment. Number 4, are quickies acceptable? And number 5, is it grounds for dismissal? For those of you wondering, what's a five-minute man? So according to Urban Dictionary, it's when a guy cannot hold his load, therefore, he's not able to please a woman. According to Nina, it refers to a man that does not last long during sex, and he ejaculates or comes within 5 minutes. Dr. Fleming raises a really good point here about privacy and men having the lack of privacy, but the urgency to finish when they're alone. So let's circle back to where it all started, especially, you know, you little horny boys discovering puberty.
Some of these guys did not have privacy, you know, a lot of siblings, and they taught themselves to be fast because it was in the bathroom, it was in the shower. It's like Pavlov's dog. It's sort of they conditioned themselves that they needed to ejaculate quickly. And so it's an interesting aspect of it. But some of these men didn't have a lot of privacy and, you know, had to get in and get out. So it's another thing for men to recognize. Sometimes premature ejaculation has just been conditioning.
We women all know stamina is all too important in the bedroom. And I'm going to share how women really feel when it comes down to being with a 5 minute man.
A 5 minute man. Okay, did he last the whole 5 minutes? Is that what we're asking?
Whoa, that's a lie. Hold on, it's not a lie. No.
Honestly, I would be very depressed.
For that to only last 5 minutes, it's just like, what happened? Like,
sexpectations, they vary among women. I mean, in all cases, Girly Nation, they recognize that it's one thing to be a 5 minute man the first time when you all hook up. We understand that when there's a bundle of nerves and, you know, the hype and anticipation from both sides, but you don't get many coochie passes after that. So Charles is one of my guy friends who gives me some reasons why these 5 minute sessions tend to happen, although he does caveat it by saying it doesn't happen to the best of us and these are his friends' experiences, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
You know, what goes into factor a lot, I think, at this age, too. I mean, most of my friends are in the 47 to 50-year range. So, I mean, we're all going through life stresses. It definitely plays in that five-minute scenario situation. Sometimes, you know, and a lot of us right now, I mean, most of my friends anyhow, you know, a lot of us are divorced and kind of getting back out there again. So the dynamics are different. You know, it's nuances you got to kind of look at and consider. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. So I wouldn't say it's a natural thing, but I think most people it's happened once or twice, and I'm sure it'll happen again. So,
Dr. Fleming addresses my analogy of the 5 minute man, and she points out, it's not really 5 minutes after all.
From a female's perspective, there's a big difference when it's a choice point, like a quickie, versus when it feels like it's all the time. And that being said, there's a significant amount of men, certain studies say, you know, can be upwards of 20 to 30% of men who at times can experience consistent premature ejaculation. So you're referring to it as a five-minute guy. Technically, for premature ejaculation, it's less than 2 minutes IVLT, intravaginal latency time, if we want to be funny about it, or how researchers look at it.
There's agreement among Girly Nation that there's a time and a place for a five-minute man. But most women will say this, and they'll actually give me the nod when I say this. It can't be the norm. Tessa is a college senior in her 20s, and when I bring up the five-minute man, it gives her anxiety.
Well, as you can see my face, that is very interesting. The idea of like creating this moment where it's just like you're into it, everybody's, you know, all on the same page, you're going for it. For that to only last 5 minutes, it's just like, what happened? Like, where'd the time go? What am I supposed to do now? Just look at you and wait for the next 5 minutes? Like, I don't understand. No, it's an unfortunate situation, especially if you wait for it.
Dating when you're older is completely different, especially when you're meeting more experienced, powerful, self-confident women who have high expectations about everything. So it leaves a little wiggle room for screw-ups. And guys feel that.
Whoa, expectations are high out there. Come on. I mean, I have two little girls, and I know they look at the media, and it puts it up. The benchmark is set so high. But sexually, for a male, too, especially a male in later years, it's high out there, too, right? And I've met many women who've just come out and said, if it's not happening in the bed, it's not happening. And, you know, I got to respect that. That's some people put that as one of the priorities, and to each his or her own, but it's out there. So I think expectations are really high. You know, you should be at a certain place. That's a big, you know, X right there.
You know, women have a hard time articulating their awkwardness, that a dude sucked in bed. And, you know, there's times where they defer to ghosting, they lie to the dude to save face, they fake it until he eventually makes it. And if all else fails, you know what? The relationship, it's just gonna fizzle out on its own. So when is it grounds for dismissal? How do we determine that? Here's the thing, in your 20s, you're still figuring out things, you're maturing, you're trying to understand your plumbing and his plumbing and how it works together, and you may not be mature enough or just equipped to have that awkward conversation without coming off as critical. Especially, you know, when you like your boo and you want to ride it out, you want to give it due diligence and give him a fair shake. And then you have other women who want to hold off and give him the benefit of the doubt, like, you know, homeboy was having an off day. I totally get it. Once in a while, we all have our off day. It happens to the best of us. But then there are women that are like, I don't think so.
I think if it's ever happened in the 20s, it's an anomaly. Like, you know, it's wow. It's fast, it's gone. But when it happens now, I think it's more of a thing the fellows, we can always sit down and tie and laugh about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that happened again. Yeah, that happened to me too. It's not a big deal anymore because it's just, we know. It's a thing that happens. Whereas when we're younger, you know, there must be something wrong with you. What's going on? You're only, you know, 21, 22, and you can't do this thing. That's where we kind of find the differences. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, too, like, I was telling you also, I mean, you know, there are easy fixes for that. You know, if you want to go that route, there are always easy fixes for that. I mean, it's not natural, but we all know what's out there, right, for both sexes.
Depressed, confused, is it me? These are all too common reactions from women. And Nicole, she says exactly that.
Honestly, I would be very depressed. I mean, it goes either way, actually, no. Okay. But initially, I would probably be very depressed. To be quite honest, he's going to hate me if he ever sees this. The first time we, you know, made love, it was like after a year of us being together and 5 minutes, probably less. And I was really confused. I was really depressed. I was like, oh my gosh, is it me? And he was just like, no, I haven't had sex in years prior, and especially, you know, I was getting to know you. I definitely wanted to remain committed. So, you know, please forgive me. This is the first time I'm having sex in like about two to three years. So I was like, okay, I understand in that aspect. So, I mean, it could go either way.
And I guess the fact that you guys talked about it, you know, and he wanted to let you know why, made you feel better.
I mean, and then it never happened again, so I was like, okay, so we're okay.
I mean, we have the tendency to be like, oh, this can't happen again.
He can't control it, so I can't hold it against him. And I just look at it like, oh, I'm fabulous, so you couldn't contain yourself. I mean, it goes either way, though.
My embarrassing story? Well, I only have two to report, but one former boyfriend, he had awesome foreplay. I mean, the eyes rolling back behind the head foreplay. But dude was only a 5-minute man. So depending on my mood, I would label it as a win-win situation. The other case was totally lose-lose. This dude, minimal foreplay and 5-minute buzzer beater. In my mind, both were disappointing and were grounds for early dismissal, because anytime we had sex, like, this was an everyday occurrence. It was status quo, the whole 5-minute thing in the relationship. And eventually you don't have anything to look forward to. The term 5-minute man usually stems from, like I said earlier, dude who cannot hold his own on a regular basis. I'm going to touch on all the negatives, in which case, dude is probably selfish. Or worst case scenario, he's cheating. He's bored with you and wants to get it over with. You mean nothing and it's all about him. Or you know what? He just wants to get off and bust a nut. plain and simple.
We met some powerful women who are very comfortable in their sexuality, and the dynamics of dating this day and age, it's very different. You know, people they know what they want, and if it's about, hey, you know, let's try to build something towards something, that's great. If it's just about a physical thing, then these things are sometimes spoken ahead of time. An example, I met this young lady, we had a couple dates, ended up getting intimate, asked for a third date, there was some hesitation, and she finally told me because she felt a little uneasy. And I explained to her, hey, this is the first time, you're a stranger, give me some time, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, we clicked, but it's just to show you that. And she was pretty straight up, and she said, I think if we didn't click furthermore in a sexual way, I would have probably left. And I was shocked. But again, it's the day and age that we date in. People are just being upfront with what they want and being honest. And I can appreciate that. Maybe not smart. It's not maybe not the way that I go about my business, but I can appreciate everyone's opinion, right?
I think that women don't understand or recognize, it's sort of a male unspoken anxiety, which is performance anxiety. And especially if somebody's aging into their 40s, that absolutely can affect erections or timing of orgasm. And, I would sort of say to women, I understand we all should feel empowered to ask for what we want, to know what we want, to be pleased and have satisfying sexual experiences. But I also think that kind of a wake-up call to say, don't cut off your nose to spite your face, right? That, this guy, it might take him more than, three strikes, you're out. Because if he's feeling that pressure, it's like game over. Like, he doesn't even have a chance to really step up to the plate, in my experience. So, I think that you might be cutting yourself off from what could be an amazing potential relationship or partner. And I think having a bit of patience, because, in our culture, sexual chemistry, we just sort of feel like it's there or it isn't, or it's supposed to be automatic and spontaneous. And the reality is, even in your teens or 20s, it's not so spontaneous. It's on the weekends or, when you had a place that you could have sex. Yeah. It's way more predictable than we actually ever thought that it was. So, I just think that women, it's important they recognize that even if it looks a certain way in the beginning, to not catastrophize and think, oh my God, this would be a horrible sex life. Because I don't think in any way that that's true.
When you're a 5-minute man, guys, women get mad. Either they'll tell you or they'll internalize it. Like, what the hell? Some women don't really like sex when they don't orgasm. And they bookmark that stuff, seriously, as a big disappointment. Meet Gemma on behalf of all of Girly Nation. She tells you the what the hell explanation to men. Fellas, if you're listening, please pay closer attention.
Yeah, like from a biological standpoint, people can't control that. So I'm not going to be angry. I might be like sad, but you want it to last. You want to, if you're being intimate with someone, I assume you like that person and you want your time to last. However, I know that's not their fault. So what I would say is that in my experience, a lot of times guys feel like once they orgasm, that means that sex is over. And that's just not the truth. Men, that is not the truth. Okay, so just because you reach your peak doesn't mean that you can't help your partner get off. And I think that if you don't realize that, as we were talking about earlier, you're probably a boy and not a man. So just spend that time making sure your partner gets to where they need to get to, even if you already orgasmed. So that would be my only. I wouldn't be angry, but just I would be mad if they like rolled over and went to sleep right afterward. Yes.
Gemma says if he's not able to control himself, then dude must find other ways to satisfy her. Women want time, they want smooching, they want cuddling, and they want the foreplay. So whether it's the toys, hell, his mouth ain't a 1-minute man either. Don't roll over and play dead. Gemma encourages men to figure it out. Dr. Fleming has worked with a lot of men in their sexual frustrations, and she really encourages females to be more supportive.
I've worked with a lot of these guys, and I can tell you that they want to please their partner unlike anyone else. And I think, unfortunately, it's the anxiety and the tension about wanting to please one's partner and the frustration of, oh my God, please don't let this happen. Please don't let this happen. Physiologically, sort of the tension, the constricted energy in that leads it so it doesn't feel like it's a choice point, right? That they are coming more quickly than they would like to. I think it's important to really educate everyone around that there's lots of treatment options available, and for a female partner to recognize when and if this might be the guy that she's getting into a relationship with, realize that when and if she wants to see what's possible, it's about trying to curb your frustration and really be sort of encouraging and supportive, and that does not equal she's not going to have pleasure, right? Because he should be using his hand, his mouth, you know, bringing her orgasm even before penetration and potentially after, right? He might, you know, if neither one of them is too frustrated by the experience, you can continue to stimulate one another. And if he's a young guy, the time to his next erection might be 20, 30 minutes.
Sheila is in her late 20s, and in her experiences reveals that, poor thing, she doesn't know any better. 5 minutes is way too long in her book, and that's not by choice. It seems as though the type of man that Sheila's been dating don't last long, leaving herself unsatisfied. So you know what? She ends up going home, or she's just left to finish the job herself. Fellas, if you're listening, this PSA is for you. Please pay closer attention.
Oh, because 5 minutes is way too long. Like, we're giving them too long. Because I don't even think they last.
Do you want it to be shorter than 5 minutes?
I would like it longer. My thing, guys, fellas, if you're listening, please pay attention. My thing is this. I'm more of a mind person, so I need you to work it in. Give me some visuals. Like, guys aren't the only ones that are visuals. I need a little teasing, a little foreplay action going on. Talk dirty to me, something, you know? Like, I can't stand those guys that just, like, start kissing and then they just start taking off their clothes. And it's like, dude, you know, it doesn't work by itself. You got to get it going. You know what I mean? Like, I know that it's a waterfall up there, but you have to get it going, literally. Like, you cannot just think that it, I mean, unless you have, like, these overblown feelings for the guy. I mean, I don't know any other girl that just gets wet for any man that she sees. Like, it doesn't happen. And I think that that has a lot of factor into the why guys don't last so long, because they're, like, so quick and they're, like, let's do it, and they get it, and they do it, and once they stick it in, oh, it's over. You know what I mean? And they don't understand that science tells us that a woman's clitoris takes at least a couple of different actions before, you know, it reaches its peak. It's not just like a man. So many guys don't think that they're really doing something, like, yeah, da, 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 and it's like, no, you're not. Because, like, you know, I didn't reach it. I didn't get there. And they're like, you didn't? No. And a lot of men don't even try to pay attention either because they're so focused on them. So I've never had a 5 minute man. I always have like 2-3 minutes. But 5 minutes, I would be giving them too much credit for that.
But even 2 minutes, that's like too fast.
I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's why I'm like always disappointed and I have to go home and then get my vibrator out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's like, you're not being satisfied at all.
Yeah. Right. You know, man, stuff is game up a little bit.
I've only had a couple.
5 minutes? That's long.
Wow. Well, I'm disappointed in 5 minutes, unless the only exception to that is, you know, it's a quickie. We're trying to go to work and get some action in before going to work. Okay, that's different. I want it to be done in 5 minutes because, you know, it takes me a long time to get ready. So anything to kind of disturb my flow like that, it's like, hurry up on both sides.
Yeah, that's different. But I mean, like, you know, you haven't seen each other in a long time and they still want to rush. No, take your time. Like, really go slow. Because I don't think that sex is just about sex. Like, people, like, a lot of men and women, they don't talk. They don't want to look at each other. No, sex is such an intimate, passionate thing. You need to really feel the other person's body. And the only way you're going to feel them is if you're going slow and really enjoying each moment. Going fast, it's just like a fluke.
I consider myself really lucky because, like I said, I've only had 2 experiences, which I deemed early grounds of dismissal. But I'm grateful that I didn't have to finish it for myself. The flip side of this argument is this. A real man, he can hold off because he wants to ensure that he's pleasing his woman to her satisfaction. even if it means this, that he's subtly switching positions or suddenly just jumping out for a 30-second recoup. Only on rare occasions should it be okay to finish soon. Girl, I consider myself seriously blessed after today's episode. Hallelujah! According to clinical psychologist and sexual health expert Dr. Megan Fleming, she mentioned that men have an orgasm within the first minute of intercourse. I'm like...
Want to know what women in their 20s need to know? Then check out The Friggin' Truth. It's The Real by Nina, a full holy grail rundown of love, sex, dating, and health commandments for every woman. You can get a free copy by going to www.ninabaabel.com/The Friggin' Truth.
Now, let's talk about the exception, but not the rule. Women are not opposed to quickies, men. There's a time and a place. Think of it as maintenance sex. Let's face it, with all our busy schedules, sometimes there's nothing better than a good old-fashioned quickie. I was introduced to a quickie, or the term quickie, by an ex-boyfriend, and, you know, we always had good sex, but that just made it even more special. I was thinking, yeah, let's look at the watch and see what we can get done. Stacy's in her 40s and admits she's not opposed to a quickie, but there's some kind of IOU policy that's understood between her and her man because she knows he is fully capable. She defines her quickies as the in-between the regular sex. So the mathematical equation to that is it's sex plus sex equals sex squared in her mind. Sex me so good, I say
blah, blah, blah. I'm not opposed to quickies, but it has to. There has to be an ending for me. Whoa, that's a lie. Hold on, I thought about it. You know what's funny? I'm so unselfish that I don't always have to have an orgasm, but it depends. If I felt like I blew your mind, sometimes that's a mental orgasm for me.
Okay, I understand that.
So even though you didn't get me fully there because I was so busy concentrating on what I was doing for you.
Right.
I know you're capable, so this is a pass.
Right.
Right, I'll let you go.
Right.
Because I got that mental orgasm from you are so spazzing out right now. That shit's a turn on.
Oh my God, I so get that.
Yes, and I'm just like, woo! The fact you're shaking and you can't, and you caught a cramp, I'm just like, I'm the woman, hear me roar, catch you on the next round. And I used to just say, like, you owe me one.
Jessica's in her 20s and has a little more compassionate than you and I built together. She's not opposed to a quickie and claims that it's intentional. Okay. So according to Jessica, the difference is this. If women get their foreplay, then it makes the whole quickie part of it null and void. Okay.
I'd be a little let down, but, you know, it depends on the situation. Like, what if it's just, you know, like, oh, we only got 5 minutes to do some stuff before, like, I gotta, you know, go to work or I got homework or I don't know. Just, it depends on, like, the specific instance in which a 5 minute session would occur. Normally, of course, sessions would be a lot longer. But if it was like a situation where we had all the time in the world and it was 5 minutes, I'd be like, I'm going to need you to start over. Or I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And, you
know? Round two.
Yeah, but, you know, if it's one of those quickie situations, and hey.
Lisa's in her 20s, and she considers lack of foreplay one of the biggest broken bedroom commandments a man could make.
I guess... not taking enough time, I've noticed. Guys,
are you talking about foreplay?
Like foreplay, guys will just be like, go for the main event, or they'll like think you're done and then just stop, and they don't communicate, so they don't actually ask or like, so how you feeling? And they're just like, I think you're good, okay, like let's go to sleep.
So the last scenario is the all about me syndrome, right? These are the women who put their needs first. And you know what? They don't give a fuck what the man's situation is or his needs. Both Danielle and Lisa are in their 20s, and they both don't have any wiggle room when it comes to what he wants, because it's all about them.
It depends on type of mood I'm in. If it's like a really good 5 minutes that we both enjoyed, then I mean, hey. But if it's like I'm expecting more, you know, I want to do, you know, be a little bit more intimate maybe, then it's annoying. It all depends on my mood. I don't care about his mood. But yeah.
Like, personally for me with, I feel like I'm just exposing myself. But, like, guys that I have been with, they always, before we do things like that, they say, like, it's for my pleasure. So I feel like a guy, if they only last 5 minutes, like, they're only focused on themselves. Like, we both have a job, and, like, we both need to satisfy each other. So if it's only we do all this to build up to this moment, and then you out for the count, like, I was doing all the work, then I feel like, so no, we gone, never again.
If there's anyone out there listening for the first, second, or third time or more, I need your 5-star rating and review after you listen to any of my episodes by clicking the ratings and reviews section in iTunes or Stitcher. Yo, you all are listening, but you're forgetting to leave a review. It's easy breezy 1, 2, 3. Let me walk you through it. Select 5 stars and click the write a review link. Log into your iTunes or Stitcher account. Enter the title and description of your review, then press submit. Voila! So, unless you're living under a rock, most of you have heard of Viagra and Cialis. I hear that the ish works pretty good and sometimes a little too good. But before we tap into that, my good friend Charles is in the house and he's in his 40s and he shares the whole bro code behind why guys only last 5 minutes. And then furthermore, he goes on to explain why they experiment with Viagra and Cialis. So Charles says it happens a lot. I mean, he also refers to the quick fix for guys.
I was just saying that I understand why a lot of guys would tend to gravitate towards that, because it's like alcohol. You know, when you go to a bar, a lot of people think, well, once I got some liquefied courage, it's a better time. And it's the same thing with these pills. It's like, it gives you that type of, you know, well, hey, I'm going to have the stamina. And yeah, chemically, it enhances the experience. But, you know, you don't become a dependency on these things, right?
Right.
But again, a lot of guys I know are gravitating towards it, and it gives them that extra umph, per se, for their performance in the bedroom, right? And it's becoming more common though than anything else. Like, me and my buddies, we talk about it like it's no big deal, you know what I mean? But back in the day, you would never, oh, you're talking about Viagra. Oh my, ooh, what do you, you know, it's different, right?
So let's get a little hipper to the game. I asked him if a woman would know the difference.
I met someone the first time, and I just wanted to pop one in or whatever. They're not going to know. They'll think, oh, it's kind of stud. But if you know someone, I mean, if you know from the beginning, okay, if you have an ongoing sex relationship, and just know who the person is. You yeah. know how that person is, right?
Right.
If he doesn't just go from all of a sudden being mediocre to being, you know, Superman in the bed. You know, what's going on? Right? So that would be great. Again, if it's not someone you're commonly having sex with, you probably wouldn't know. But if someone you are, you would know the differences.
Okay, ladies, here's some other signs. If they go through any, like, big side effects and your man goes into hiding for a couple of days, you know why now.
I know a bunch of guys have tried Viagra, and, you know, a lot of people who just do it, even though they don't have issues, it somehow gives them this kind of unprecedented feelings of stamina. So, obviously, after hearing all this stuff, I wanted to try it out. I wanted to try it. So I tried the Cialis, and I would never do it again. I mean, yeah, it did enhance the experience, but the after effects were horrendous.
So Dr. Fleming set me straight. I mean, clearly my understanding of Viagra and Cialis was totally off base. And I'll bet my bottom dollar, your thoughts were the same.
So, interestingly, as you say that, Viagra and Cialis are typically more the treatment for erectile dysfunction, although some men find it helpful because they describe it like a wooden quality, that yes. extra blood flow can decrease some of the sensation, and that might help them to last longer. But beyond that, and it's an interesting question, because some guys that I've worked with, it's like chicken egg. Is this premature ejaculation or this erectile dysfunction? Because some of these guys kind of want to use it before they lose it. So it's an interesting kind of rule out to understand sort of fundamentally what is it just that he's not aware of the sensations to slow down and stop or just decrease the stimulation before he hits that tipping point. I mean, when tipping point is that point of inevitability with that level of sensation, orgasm's a reflex. And so it's really helping these guys to slow down, stop sooner, and recognize where they are in terms of their own arousal response so that they can learn those sensations that can help them control ejaculation. So that's one of the things we talk about from a sex therapy side is stop, start, stop, slow down, using masturbation techniques that help guys identify those sensations and last longer. There's also the SSRIs, which initially was off-label use, that the nature of them is that they can delay orgasm. So one specifically is duloxetine, which has a primary clinical indication for premature ejaculation. And, I mean, I can desensitizing creams, and there's a new one, Promescent, out that you put on 10 minutes before and it gets absorbed, but it doesn't affect her sensation or pleasure. And just helping the guy with a lot of breathing techniques, because so often it's the anxiety of wanting to please a partner and being like, please God, don't let this happen, that they get ahead of themselves. So I said a lot quickly, but those are just sort of the tip of the iceberg of some of the things that he can do.
I asked Dr. Fleming to repeat the treatment options, and she even reminded men not to rule out seeing a urologist.
SSRIs stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So they are antidepressants, a class of antidepressants, well known for sexual side effects that often include some loss of libido, but more importantly, delayed orgasm. And so it's one thing they recognized, and they realized, okay, if we can give this to men, we're capitalizing on this side effect. So it helps them to last longer. And like I said, duloxetine is a particular class within the SSRIs that is sort of fastly absorbed and eliminated by the body. And so if that's what someone is ideally wanting to use the medication for, you know, duloxetine might be sort of a good first choice. And then there's Promescent. I mean, there are a few things on the market in addition to sort of desensitizing creams or, you know, condoms that have, like, benzocaine in them. So, again, that is focusing on decreasing the sensation or stimulation to help someone last longer.
Are these over-the-counter or you need a prescription?
Promescent, the duloxetine, you need a prescription. The desensitizing creams, like in condoms or, you know, products like Mandalay, those are available over-the-counter or through the internet. And the thing I would always say, because listen, this is so important, I think, for men in general, that, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is. They don't like to go to the doctor, you know, and or it'll be fine. And so, you know, sometimes if there's a sexual symptom, whether it's difficulties maintaining erection or timing of orgasm, there might be something going on with your thyroid or vascular in terms of blood flow or neurological. So I can't express enough the value of going to a urologist and getting a workup. A, for peace of mind, but just to rule out that there isn't something physiological, biological, organic that may be contributing.
So this is how I look at it, right? Remember that cap lock button that is on your keyboard? When these dudes take Viagra and Cialis, that cap lock button is like forever stuck. And it just goes into cruise control. And as we say in the Caribbean, he have wood. That wood lasts for days. Dr. Fleming makes the distinction between PE and an erectile dysfunction.
And that PE is more prevalent, right, than erectile dysfunction. Because I think in our culture, Viagra, Cialis, we're more typically more focused, you know, whether or not he can maintain his erection or get an erection.
Yeah, and that was educational on my part because, you know, I just kind of lumped everything into one category.
Yeah, and like I said, some men, they're almost masking the fact that the real issue is erectile dysfunction because they're like excited, woohoo, I'm rock hard, and my shorthand is they want to use it before they lose it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really helping those guys, just like with PED, that absolutely, again, anxiety and wanting to please one's partner is a big piece of that, but recognizing, including Cialis, Levitra, and other medications, can make a significant difference. But it's also to help the guy recognize, chicken egg, what's really happening here.
So the biggest takeaway from today's episode is I don't want you listeners to walk away with the impression that men suck in bed. I mean, that's not productive. That's not Nina or the goal of this episode. Dr. Fleming talks about what she considers the goal for any couple.
When working with a couple, it's like the goal is focusing on pleasuring and giving her the time and giving her her pleasure. And when and if you ejaculate or come more quickly than you'd like to, it's not frustration, game over. I mean, you have to really just allow yourself those opportunities that I don't know and you don't know what's going to happen. And if we can just relax around it, relaxation really is the foundation of arousal and really can make a big difference.
The point I'm trying to make is most women encounter a five-minute man once in their lifetime. In fact, according to Dr. Fleming, it's really a minute or two at the most. But we all have different approaches to dealing with it. Some walk, some will give you the benefit of the doubt until proven guilty. And you know what? Other women, they're just going to finish the job on their own or their partner will. You learned a lot about women's reactions and disappointments. We take one for the team several times hoping, you know what? Guys, that you prove us wrong. But let's put the shoe on the other foot for a second. Dr. Fleming addresses the sex therapy stigma, and more importantly, this is the last place, people, that men want to be.
What's the level of embarrassment?
It's interesting, whether it's the word embarrassment, I mean, I reframe it as like courage, right? Because let's all be clear, it's the last place they want to be. It really is, and they've probably gone online, and you know, they've potentially read a Love Inkerner's book, She Comes First. I think it's amazing courage that when someone recognizes, like, you know, men being men and sexuality is so tied into their sense of self, identity, self-esteem, that coming and asking for help or recognizing that there is help is huge. And I actually think that says something really amazing about their character, because it's like, I'm going to suck it up even though I don't want to be here. Let me recognize I want to have more control of my life, my sexual life, my destiny, and there's somebody out there that can help me. And I say to those guys, it's like, to me, I think that's amazing. And when they come in, from the moment they come in and you feel the tension in their bodies to the moment they leave, I feel it's like this big exhale, like, whew, I don't have to hold this. This is a safe space. I could talk about it. And wow, there are things I haven't tried or experienced or thought about. And so they see the hope and the help, and that's a big part of that exhale. So hopefully there are men or women on this call bringing their men in to listen, to recognize, like, there's something about our culture that therapy and sex therapy in particular feels like voodoo hats. Like, I don't want to go there. And, you know, we're really helpful people. Yeah. You know, we got a lot to say.
If you like or love him, train him to do what you like. And likewise, your man should train you to do what he likes. Everyone has different tastes and what they like or don't like in bed. Partners need to learn to be more adaptive to their boo's needs. So we learned there's a time and a place for quickies. Quickies are what I call maintenance sex, but it's a win-win for both sides that adds up to more frequent sex. Quickies add excitement and spontaneity, especially when there's a time crunch. It gives us a goal, a challenge to finish as fast as possible, but at the same time have fun. On the flip side, a woman's body may not cooperate fast enough for quickie sex. They don't tent easily, and you know what? It doesn't always end in an orgasm. Some women self-lubricate faster and easier than others. The rest? Well, they just buy artificial lubrication at their local pharmacy. Dr. Fleming emphasizes and wants all my listeners to focus on pleasure.
First of all, I totally am a woman. I get it. I understand. And it's true for men too, right? When a woman doesn't have an orgasm or vaginal pain and complications that she might be struggling with enjoying or having pleasure sexually. So I totally understand and get the disappointment and the frustration. But I think our culture is just really so focused on penetration, orgasm, that we're losing the focus on what it, in my mind, really is focusing on pleasuring. And so importantly, again, it's his hands, it's his mouth. There's many ways that he can give you pleasure. And so even when, you know, I worked with this sex coach once, who, you know, he would say to a guy, and again, from a self-esteem courage perspective, again, it may be a sexual toy, a dildo, a vibrator, or even a strap-on, but if that's the sensation that she's looking for, right, sort of the girth, the depth, the penetration, it doesn't equal that he doesn't have ways to give that to her, whether, as I said, it's waiting out the time to his next erection, the refractory period, or whether it's using a sex toy. But I think it's really to focus on, does this guy have interest in giving me pleasure? Is he committed to my pleasure? You know, do I feel pleasure? And we all have preferences, and so we can be disappointed or frustrated. But I think if we open and expand our minds to focusing more on just it is about pleasure, and there are many ways to give and receive that, that we'll come and find our ways to more win-wins.
And there you have it. That wraps up another episode where everybody reveals a chapter about themselves that, you know what, they don't read aloud. We learn what women are thinking but not saying out loud. And even guys too. Hope you enjoyed it. Please tweet you listened to this episode by tagging me on Twitter or Instagram using @NinaBabel. Or you know what's even better? You can follow me on Snapchat and send me a snap. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and now Google Play Music for Android. Don't forget to share this show with your girlies. Anybody that has a question, or you know what, if you have a personal story, send your email to ask@ninababel.com. Give me some love, Girly Nation. Remember, show me your girl hog by looking for the girl in the red onesie outfit on her podcast cover. Look for the purple font that says subscribe. Then give me a 5-star rating. Write a review in any language you want, then hit submit. Voila! Remember, I'm the new chick on the iTunes block. When you rate and review my podcast, you're helping my position in each iTunes category. You could also check out my vids on YouTube by typing in the search field, Nina Babel. In next week's episode, I have a mother-daughter duo spotlight that shares a really unconventional communication style that Girly Nation isn't used to. So tune in next week to find out more. Until then, thanks, girl. Smooches.